Welcome to The Growth Machine, your backstage pass to the minds behind today's most successful digital marketing agencies. Each episode, we unpack real-world playbooks for scaling revenue, delighting clients, and building cultures that last. The Growth Machine is powered by Dream Giant, the partner that sparks qualified interest, turns leads into signed contracts, and nurtures a loyal tribe of eager buyers. Ready to think bigger? Hit play and let's dream giant. Hey, everybody, this is Shane Miller with the Growth Machine podcast. We are here today with Alex Nocifera, CEO and founder of Loma. Loma is doing some amazing work in the franchise space. And, you know, instead of butchering explaining what he does, I think I'm just going to defer to him to talk about his agency and all the great work he's doing.
Thanks, Shane, for having me on. Loma stands for local marketing. We are actually a software platform for not just franchise brands, but really multi-unit brands. And franchise brands sort of occupy a large percentage of multi-unit brands. But this is my fourth venture capital financed software company. I've just invested a lot of time in the multi-unit arena. And what I mean by that is just all the brick and mortar physical commerce that's out there. There is something very modular and scalable about being able to build a template for one unit for a storefront in Oxnard, and then to be able to replicate that across the country or the world based on that template of what the brand sees as demographics and certain spatial attributes, et cetera. So Loma is software that we sell into enterprise multi-unit brands, and it enables them and their marketing teams to track all the local ad spend throughout their system. A lot of franchise brands have sort of an agreed to legal structure of franchisee should be spending a fixed amount on local marketing. And so we help franchisor, the parent, track that compliance and track the spend, not just that it's happening, but the efficacy and the optimization of that spend. And then Loma also has a marketplace of curated vendors that help brands get into the neighboring communities to try to influence and engage in this authentic local way. And then lastly, we have an analytics platform where it helps attribute, hey, we spent a dollar in local marketing in the month of May. We're up 15 points year over year. Comparative to other similar units, we're up 7 points. It really starts to tell the story of how local marketing dollars yield returns. And that's something that's been a pretty good size gap in the market for some time. So a long-winded way, that's Loma.
Got it. I mean, I think it's really interesting what you've created, because you've creating something that serves both sides of the franchise model, and that is the franchisees and the franchisors, because you're helping the actual franchisors keep track. I'm saying that right, franchisors?
Yeah.
Okay. You're helping the actual franchisors keep track of the marketing dollars that the franchisees are spending, and then you're giving them the opportunity to spend, you know, you're giving them the opportunity to find great ways to spend their budget. And so I think coming in and providing that expertise is really smart. I mean, you know, I've got to ask, like, this, with this unique position you've kind of created for yourself, what led you to that point? What were the challenges that, like, did you start with one or the other? Or, you know, what were the challenges that you found in creating this offer that's clearly resonating with both sides of the coin of the franchise model?
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like there's some breakage on both sides. And I think, admittedly, most of my passion for solving like a real systemic problem is probably more on the franchisee side. But knowing the complexity and limitations and scalability of selling into the franchisee, which is, you know, a million plus small business operators, in essence, you know, the composition of a franchisee is just really that good old Main Street small business operator, right? A lot of immigrants, they've mortgaged their house and they decided to buy into a franchise brand. And, you know, they wanted to quit the day job and be able to operate a brand that has some, you know, it sort of has the playbook and template built out to some degree. But on the other side, in the franchisor, I felt over the years, there's been a shift in focus where they've prioritized selling Shane on buying another license versus Shane, the operator, the current franchisee, on growing sales.
Yeah.
Because this sort of circular symbiotic relationship, you just remember, I mean, the financial constructs of it is, you know, Shane, the franchisee, buys into franchisor. You pay to license the brand. You pay royalties to leverage the brand. I mean, you pay into a national ad fund to make sure Google search, maps, all the social pages, all of that is sort of plugged in and playing. And then there's this other ad fund, which is local ad fund. And I feel like the value that Loma takes to the franchisor is heavily to do about, hey, let's get your operators improving local awareness, which is going to drive volume into stores, which is going to drive sales and going to drive royalty revenue. And that's a real big win for franchisors. And then the win for the franchisee is that we're going to keep your lights on and build some buzz. And, you know, we know you're busy inside those four walls. And so by locally marketing on it, sort of a cadence, will drive growth and revenue into your pocket. And then there's sort of a third win here, which is the vendor ecosystem. So there are these wonderful companies that do like direct mail, do canvassing, do, I mean, there's a great company out there that does good student certificates into local schools. So this franchisee who's busy, hardworking, all of a sudden could end up on Johnny's straight A report card that says, come, lunch is on us, Johnny. And it's the brand right there in the neighborhood. But for Johnny to figure out, I mean, not Johnny, Johnny's the good student. It's, but for the brand to know about that vendor is really hard. You know, there's a lot of, there's just a lot of noise out there for franchisees to go where they spend those dollars. So Loma's marketplace really curates and kind of brings these vendors to the surface to enable them and activate these dollars to drive growth and sales for the franchisee and then for the franchisor.
Got it. I mean, that's so smart, by the way. I didn't even think about that. You know, the whole student thing. Yeah. I mean, I think having unique options like that available where, you know, they're just constantly getting pitched like, oh, run ads, SEO, whatever, where like they have a marketplace where they can see these unique options is probably super helpful.
I mean, there are, you know, obviously every brand has a different demographic. I mean, I think you have layers of complexity in that, different demographics, different times of year, different day parts, different menu items, you know, going to businesses, trying to sell catering or large orders, going to schools to try to influence parents and the faculty. And I mean, there's just so many opportunities. And Loma's Marketplace does do a good job of curating different options. I mean, we've even sort of built bundles for around certain objectives, like, you know, grand openings or reopenings or remodels, fundraising with schools, large order catering, underperforming stores. So we really have sort of form fit this for multi-unit franchise systems, because these are the problems that are keeping them up at night. These are the problems that are stopping them from growing their same store sales. So I do, I'm proud, because, you know, what I'm also, I really love Loma's position on this, which is we're agnostic. We're not here to sell you that those good student certificates are the way to go. We're here to lay out the options. You have franchisors have marketing teams, incredibly experienced, smart marketing teams. And it's about them teeing it up for the franchisee. Shane comes in as a franchisee, has to spend 20 grand a year. So he's like, all right, I'll try this. I can run this experiment. Click, click, buy, go. And so we've created that sort of e-commerce-like work stream in a local marketing sort of platform. So
yeah,
pretty different.
No, it really makes sense. And I think integrating this offer that you've created into a sales cycle is really important for growth, right? Because we had our first call a couple days ago, or it was yesterday, a couple days ago. But you said, like, for every business, it's really important to first aim for that $1 million a year and then aim for the $10 million a year. And so, when you are putting together your business development, what we find is lead prospecting, sales enablement, and lead nurturing are the biggest make or break points for closing new deals and growing the business. So just from, like, a prospecting standpoint, are you guys mostly relying on referrals at this point? Do you have any systems in place where you're going after the franchisees or the franchisors? Like, how are you guys building your pipeline right now?
Yeah, I'm not exactly taking the traditional playbook that you just mentioned. I think one of the challenges in this industry is, the benefit that there's two sides, right? The upside to this industry is the lifetime value of a brand is huge because you have, a brand that might operate, say, 300 storefronts across the United States, and if you roll up those 300, it starts to look like a really big sort of whale-like opportunity. But you got to get into one enterprise brand, that brand that operates 300 units. Well, that brand is getting just pummeled by salespeople,
Yeah,
SDRs,
of course.
BDRs, pummeled. So what I've learned over the years is I have a sadly low batting average when it comes to SDR work. Targeting that constituent. And
Yeah.
I just think they're getting annihilated on LinkedIn. They're getting annihilated in their inbox. And so I haven't, I it's hard for me to justify a pretty expensive BDR resource when the batting average is that low. Now, even when the lifetime value of these type acquisitions are high, as a startup, a company that's raised, especially at an early stage prior, let's say your first 2 million in capital that you raise, it's hard to justify a small stable of those BDRs because they're expensive and you better justify it quick or otherwise your investors are going to be all over you. And Shane, also in just like sort of the framework of like contextualizing this, I'm thinking like a venture-backed entrepreneur. So someone who's got, this fiduciary to his investors. If I was bootstrapping it, I'd probably think differently. I would probably operate differently at a different pace. But I as we discussed, the way Loma has found success is I, as the founder who, I'd argue I've sort of drive the pound for pound the most passion for this problem that we're trying to solve. And my outreach to brands is genuinely authentic. It's not spray and pray. It's not like this like robotic, just like algorithmic ongoing like peppering of noise. It is legitimately, I am reaching out to Shane, who is might be the chief marketing officer of this brand that operates 300 units. I have researched, I have looked at your footprint. I can see who your private equity owners are, but I go in and really almost surgically break that down and say, look, I believe there's a great opportunity here. And I talk, probably more sophisticated than a typical BDR would. I come in there and talk about how we have this opportunity to leverage that percentage of sales and, go into how we're going to grow sales for them. But it's not like a high volume scale approach. It's more of a sniper, back to that point of let's put an emphasis on growing to a million. And how are we going to get there? You sort of have to reverse your way out of there. We need 5 brands, 10 brands, 20 brands, whatever that number is. And then if I need 20, that means I probably have to go after 200 and do this surgical attack for each 200, which is it's time consuming, but I believe there is this really beautiful, like partnership value trade. I'm going to bring them this, and I really mean this. Like, if you were the CMO of this brand, I'm really thinking about how Loma can help them achieve their goals for this year, because they are growth goals. We have growth goals for these brands, and we're using this marketing apparatus to do that. So it's a very one-to-one growth machine that I've got going here. I wouldn't even call it a machine, right? It's just more so a very personalized, authentic outreach approach. And that, to me, is it. I think it's a very sturdy playbook for a $1 million growth path. I don't think that's the $10 million growth path, right? You've probably got to think that something that gets a little bit louder, a little bit faster, a little bit, a little more horsepower behind that. And that's probably starts to look at that traditional playbook of the BDRs and SDRs, et cetera.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. And like, sorry, the. What would you say these people that you're trying to reach out to, like, what would you say your total addressable market is? How many people out there are there that you can do this one-on-one approach with?
Oh, I mean, in the thousands. I mean, it's not like 10,000. I think it's probably somewhere in the deep hundreds to thousands. But let's think of it in a different way. There are 3.5 million storefronts in the United States. So when you look at sort of the composition of like the total addressable market, there's 3.5 million. There's about 1 million restaurants. We do pretty well in restaurants because they spend local ad dollars. They need help. They're from an ideal customer profile perspective, they're pretty good. They're pretty centered to our target. So there's 1 million of those. But then when you break it out, you get into like the brands are probably 500,000. Then you go into the Subways and the Starbucks and the, these chains that have tens of thousands of locations. I mean, Loma today, has about 15 brands that we've gone and done what I've talked about, me reaching out, engaging with everyone from CEO to CMO, sometimes private equity, their owners. And we have Loma already has about, we're getting closer to 10,000 locations inside our platform. There's 1 million restaurants. Now we're diversified. We've got some fitness in there. We've got a company I would maybe more so call retail, and then probably half of that footprint is restaurants. And but I'm looking at if I got a hold of Shane, who's the marketing representation for a brand that has 500 locations. There's probably about 1,000 chains out there that represent those, right?
Yeah. Got it. Okay. So that's like for restaurants specifically.
I mean, there's a long tail there. There's a lot of brands that have 50 locations, a lot of brands that are sub 50 locations. I mean, what you quickly get reminded of when you go and start to dive into like the sector, like restaurants, is just like how many chains are in the United States, and how many are in the Midwest? We're on the West Coast, and if you've spent time in the Midwest, and you go and see a lot of these multi-unit chains, you'll see a strip center with 20 different chains in there. Where I live, there's not that many. I don't have, it doesn't have that typical like strip center footprint. But there's just so much opportunity out there from a serviceable, addressable market.
Yeah, absolutely. And would you say that part of the reason, so am I correct to assume that like you are the one that's currently handling all sales, right?
Yep, proudly, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so important for the founder to be doing it, at least in the beginning, And would you say that you would your time, your limited time and what you have to commit to fulfilling for clients kind of influence the amount of sales calls you're willing to take and the level of prospecting that you are trying to do.
I mean, I really discipline my calendar to like really, I devote hours to researching ones that I think fit our ICP. And then you do the sweaty stuff of, a lot of personalized outreach. You've got to, I mean, admittedly have thick skin. I mean, you're not gonna, it's not like you're getting, door slammed in your face. You're just getting often little, very little response, but you're not getting no's. And again, what I refuse to do is just build these templates that just get blasted out to like 500 of these targets, because to me, they're so non-personalized. They're so generic. I feel like I do. I'm offended. I'm offended when I get those emails. I get 20 of those emails a day, right? And I'm just like, report junk, report junk, report junk. And because it's such a template and it's so impersonal and it's just, it's like clearly. So I want to be sort of the opposite of that. I want, really to be able to see, hey, you as a brand just released your quarterly report. You guys had a good quarter. What are the opportunities here? You're opening up five new stores. Boom. How can we help? Because I know, there's, one of the sort of empathetic points we go to market with is just a lack of resources. What I've studied over the years for a long period of time, marketing teams are all understaffed, all. And I think it originates under the crux of the problem, which is the lack of evidence they have for the return on this spend. So if you really knew a dollar you turned into eight, then you wouldn't have such a thin team. You'd be able to justify some better resources and support. So when we empathetically go out to the market, we often talk about how can we help? We know you're strapped with resources. And that's one of the value drivers that anchors our outreach.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the same exact thing. I don't think I've ever met a marketing employee who's like, yeah, we have plenty of people.
Right. Nope.
So, yeah, and
Nope.
I guess, kind of as we reach the end of the podcast here, what is your number one advice to people who are starting, something in the marketing space, something you've learned from or something you're trying to do, some advice that you would give them if they're trying to scale their business?
Most of just around perseverance, right? If you have conviction on a problem that you're trying to solve and you have a good plan, then you really just got to see it through, right? And that's much harder, much easier said than done sometimes if you're, financially need, a better paying job or all those things. But like what I have seen too often over the years with entrepreneurs is that they give up too quick. And it's, nothing happens fast. If it happened fast, I'd be more suspicious than it going slow. So if you've got conviction, make sure you got a good plan, trust the process, stick with the plan, and persevere, and don't stop till you get what you want, right? So I think that's pretty, old man lame advice there, but that's probably, MarTech is noisy. There's a lot of marketing companies out there, right? And so I think you've got to study your competitor. That's probably one of the things I see the most often with entrepreneurs. They haven't studied the competition well enough to know really are they just offering something very similar many others are offering, or have you really truly differentiated something here? And again, if you've got conviction, you've got a plan, keep going till you get it.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like I've been doing this for about 9 years now, and I didn't make any money at it for the first 3 or 4 years, So I'd tell you, you have to put in those 10,000 chair hours. Like that's one of my favorite quotes. To become an expert in something, you got to sit in a chair for 10,000 hours and do it.
Yep,
So,
that's good old Gladwell right there. Yeah.
yep,
Yeah.
exactly. But yeah, that's great. Thanks again, Alex, for being on the podcast. Again, his company's called Loma. And if you would like more information, you're going to find it on the podcast page if you need to get in contact with him. Thanks again, Alex, for being on the Growth Machine.
Shane, nice meeting you and appreciate you having me on. Thank you.